But what I've had access to is really the story of 6 years of National. It came from a National Party activist, Cameron Slater, and a National Party aligned blogger, and this is part of the story of John Key's government. So it's very much about the unseen side of how he has done his political management.
You could say this was politically motivated, given that it's only a few weeks after the election, and that you've got a political agenda here.
Not in the slightest. I think that any person, any of you who had got access to the documents which I have, would have leapt at the chance to use this information, because it's so illuminating about the government. That's what the job is, to tell people before an election. And so I'll tell the truth, definitely. I got given this stuff earlier this year, and I could have done it, sorry, but I've worked like a dog, because I believe that people had a total right to know this before the election. So have I hurried to do it before the election? Totally. Is it politically motivated? It's motivated by the public interest that I think people have in knowing what's going on.
Do you think this should see National out of office?
Excuse me? Sorry?
Do you think this should see National out of office?
Oh, no, I don't know that it will have any effect on the election, but I do think that I think voters have got a total right to know about their government beyond just the glossy face that people put on of the things which they don't want, which the government doesn't want to be seen. And that's the way democratic systems work. They don't always get to choose their own spin.
How bad do you think it is? What kind of effect would you have on
the I think that John Key has some very serious questions to answer. I think that a Prime Minister who's got his longest serving press person, who sits in an office two doors away from him, going inside the Labour Party's computers and organising other dirty tricks and feeding out information to David Farrer and to Cameron Slater when they want to attack someone and not have their own hands on it, he really has to answer to this. And when you read the book, you're going to find chapter after chapter of remarkable things that him as leader of the party and leader of the government and the person who's responsible for that party, he's got a lot to answer for.
What's the dirtiest trick?
Sorry?
How personally damaging do you think it will be to John Key?
I don't know how damaging it will be, but I think that the public has got a huge right to know the less attractive things as well as the attractive things when they go to vote for people, and this is the part which has been hidden.
What's the dirtiest trick in this book?
Can you give us another quick
The book covers a whole range of different activities. I'm talking about, in some cases there's political blackmail, there are many cases of digging sexual dirt to try to scare or threaten people. There are many cases where there are things which have looked to the country like they were spontaneous acts of politics, which were actually orchestrated from the ninth floor. I mean, I think there's very many serious issues involved.
Do you think his behaviour is specific to National, or is it part of a broader political trend in terms of sphere politics?
I think that you can see people like Cameron Slater and the empowerment he's got from his relationship with the government as being exceptionally bad. I don't think there's an equivalent of Cameron Slater in the Labour Party, for example. However, the risk of these things is that if people see you being effective by smearing and personal attacks and digging dirt on people, well, yes, I actually think there's a serious risk that the other parties do follow it, and we have a spiral downwards, which is why we need to call it and to say it's wrong, you know, to let the public see that it's wrong and show them up for it.
And does your book, does it get into media complicity with these tactics?
Well, it does slightly, but I'd like to say now I've gone out of my way not to finger the media, because I think that in many cases what you talk about is what the things which go on are that there are things that look like real politics where probably all of you were thinking, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I have to report the news today because it's come out. And you may have been suspicious, but you had no way of knowing what orchestration was going on.
Have you got sources from within the media been feeding you?
Yes, naturally. Of course.
Within the National Party have been feeding you?
Yeah, as I explained in there, this mainly comes from this huge pile of documents I got related to communications of Cameron Slater and all his associations. But yes, I had people in the National Party help me as well.
Does it suggest there's some dissatisfaction with the people in the National Party about the way it's been run?
I couldn't say that generally, but there were people in the National Party, as there have been in other projects I've done, who aren't happy with different things and are happy to help me when I'm writing about it. Yeah.
Do you have evidence of John Key's direct involvement?
Yes. What happened? I think it would be fair to say that John Key, this was only a part of his political management. And what, I think what happened to him was that he's genuinely a friendly and relaxed person. He likes that image, he's run that image. But I also had this dangerous and useful tool, which was that they could mobilise these people to attack their opponents. And what I saw was that, say, the 2008 election, when he first came in, already Jason Eade, his staff member, was helping to coordinate attacks from independent people, but John Key was quite separate from it. By 2014, from what I've seen and what you'll see, some of it in the book, but a lot of it won't be possible to document, John Key and Cameron Slater were a much closer team than they had been. And I think there's another thing which he should be accountable for, is using such an ugly tool as part of his political management. Yeah, with the SIS information was leaked, let me just... One of the stories that comes out in the book, an early chapter, is that Cameron Slater said he had this great idea of his own, and he would go to the... He would just write an official information request and find out about the SIS information, and then, what would, you know, surprise, he embarrassed the Labour Party leader. What I found in these documents was that he had been tipped off from the Prime Minister's office. He had been chuckling away the whole way through because he had been told that he could expect a great bomb that was going to hurt Phil Gough, who was the leader at the time. And so actually he had been orchestrated each step of the way from the Prime Minister's office to something which, when it came out, we were all told was a spontaneous act of the right-wing blogger. So it's a classic example of how, in that case, how the government could have control of SIS information and using its government position figure out an attack on the opposition. They would have known it looked very grubby to do it themselves, to use their inside information to do it, and so they found it out to the blogger to do it for them.
Aside from Jason Eade, who else is implicated? What are the names that
the other people are embedded? The cast in this story is John Key, Judith Collins, Jason Eade, Cameron Slater, David Farah, Jordan Williams, and then a network that spreads out of them, from them, of people who they use for their different attacks and operations.
Are you expecting any legal action from this book?
No, I don't think so. Of course, there's always a threat of legal action, and my lawyers work very hard, but people, if you've done some really, really dodgy things where you look really bad, you don't always want to put yourself in court talking about it and having me argue in the public interest.
Was the behaviour illegal or unethical? And if illegal, what law would grant it?
It's talking about defamation. I shouldn't say anything about what I think is illegal, but there are issues. For example, the case I've already told you about a Prime Minister's staff member going inside the Labour Party computers, very questionable legally. I think that you'll see a case of blackmail, which I find completely astonishing that it would go on in New Zealand, which I think is legally questionable. And then it rolls on from there. You'll see chapter by chapter different stories. The blackmail case concerned Cameron Slater was involved in a number of different hits and kinds of politics. And one of the things that he did for the National Party was when the National Party thought that their coalition partner ACT might be going down the drain and they should get rid of Rodney Hyde. And him and Cameron Slater and Simon Lusk got the job of making sure that Rodney Hyde stood down. And there is a very grubby sequence where they discover some personal information about Rodney Hyde and consciously plan to threaten him with smears and to make him decide to stand down because of it.
Do you think this is why John Key has been so soft on Judith Collins over the Chinese stuff?
I don't know, but one certainly Judith Collins' part in this story will, and what John Key does about it, is one of the issues that will be resolved over the coming days, which will have to be resolved over the coming days.
It seems to be a serious element of the statement. Talk about how
information from the SIS was used and passed off.
There's half a chapter on that. I think that's yes, I agree with you. I think it's a very serious thing, because what you're talking about is that when you're the minister in charge of the SIS, you are expected to act with the, you know, you're supposed to act in a proper way. You're supposed to take your position very seriously. And if John Key had said, I've got some information here which is going to really embarrass the leader of the opposition just before an election, and here it is, people would have thought this was really disgraceful of him and a misuse of his power. And so what they actually did was they did exactly the same thing, but they tipped off their attack dog, Cameron Slater. They got him to get the information, they fast-tracked it for him, he knew what was coming, he was gloating to his friends in advance about all the damage he was going to do, and then Cameron Slater did the attack for them, which is actually worse than being prepared to front your dirty tricks yourself.
That's what Muldoon needs to do, isn't it?
Yeah, except the difference between this and Muldoon is that Muldoon stabbed you in the front. He did it himself. He did it himself, and he fronted for his attacks.
Does the Bevan Chuang, Len Brown thing come up in your book?
Yeah, the story gets worse as it goes on. There is a whole chapter about the inside story of the Len Brown sex operation that they did, a sex scandal operation. And the horrible thing about it is that it's not the only case, but that's only part of it, of all the examples of where they were using sexually related information to try to intimidate or gain influence over other people. Not as far as I know, but the Auckland National Party was totally involved. I'm not going to say names.
What do you make of Slater being New Zealand's best blogger, being awarded New Zealand's best blogger?
I think it was a very sad joke. And I am confident that when people have read this book, the question of whether Cameron Slater is a journalist will never be asked again.
Nikki, you have commented on this as being a conspiracy theorist, and I imagine that there'll be some backlash from this. What would you say to that?
One of the honours of doing this kind of work is that when it comes out, the people who don't like it will use insults. And so already this morning, before the book came out, the Prime Minister was calling me a conspiracy theorist in my book about Snowden. And I'm sure that tomorrow morning he'll say that I'm a conspiracy theorist for this. And actually, I would invite people to see that as being exactly the kind of personal attacks rather than debating issues which this book is about.
Do you have personally had any personal attacks from the Prime Minister?
Not lately. I mean, no.
Have you been hacked, or are you worried that you're now going to be hacked by Slater or his mates?
No, but their modus operandi is this. They don't like someone. They dig dirt and personally attack.
Was it the Prime Minister's office, like mailing Rodney Pyne, or was it
Cameron Slater?
Do you have a comment on the rest of the media's role in sort of amplifying these sensationalist
things? I'm sorry?
Like the role that the rest of the media has in sort of amplifying these sensationalist things rather than concentrating on policy. Do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, well, this is actually part of the theory of blogs. And this is why they are such a useful part of what I do in the book is that I talk about the US literature on how parties, in particular the Republican Party, learn to use blogs to do their work. Because what happens is that if a story comes out on a blog, and they actually write this, you can put a story on a blog which is not factually correct, is not fair, and is not balanced, and what do the rest of the media do? Do they ignore it? It's actually a way to get smears and attacks into the media which the media itself would not handle. So unfortunately, the use of blogs is a way of undermining the ethics of the media.
Have you named anyone in the media, in the mass media?
No, actually, you'll find that if anyone's mentioned in the book, in the media, it's not because they've done something wrong, it's just because they mentioned in passing. It's not my job to slag off the media.
What needs to happen in the future to prevent this kind of behavior?
The best thing you can do, the end of the book is my suggestions for a variety of things that can be done about this. But the main thing is that when you read about it, Jason Eade and Cameron Slater and those people, they feel very powerful. They've done trick after trick, and they know they get away with them, and if they keep getting away with them, they keep on doing them. In other words, publicity and being exposed is the best thing we can do if we don't want our politics to be a, to be kind of constantly defined by the grubbiest people making the news.
Is it actually a book on the way of the Twitter?
No. No, actually, do you know what I think? No, not particularly. Actually.
Do you expect him?
This is very focused on the right on BC. Have you got any information about these sort of tactics from the left?
No, because I was studying the government. And I've gotten a lot of trouble in the past writing about when it was a Labour government. But no, this is about, this is an, basically this book is a, it's the sequel to my book, The Horror Men, which was about the John Birch National Party. And this is looking at the 6 years that John Key has been leader and the issues which have been covered up and which needed to be found out about that.
Do you expect Heads to roll in his office because of this book?
I don't know how he'll handle it, but I think just calling me names and brushing it off won't be enough because there's just too many serious issues in it.
So. Who do you want to play your role in the Hollywood blockbuster?
Next question.
Thank you, Nicky.
Okay. Hey, thank you.